What happens when a poorly made 14-minute film sparks violence across continents and kills over 50 people? In September 2012, Innocence of Muslims, a crude video depicting the Prophet Muhammad in offensive ways, ignited protests from Indonesia to Morocco. American diplomats died in Benghazi. Pakistani police were killed trying to control crowds during an official Day of Love for the Prophet. The U.S. Secretary of State condemned it publicly. A four-star general personally called a Florida pastor to prevent further provocations. Google refused White House requests to remove the video entirely, but blocked it in certain countries after violent protests, setting a troubling precedent that mob violence could suppress speech. This wasn't just another international incident. It revealed something profound about our moment in history. We live in an unprecedented era where anyone can publish content that billions might see, where local actions trigger global consequences, and where the rules governing expression remain dangerously unclear. Welcome to the Cosmopolis and the urgent need for a framework to navigate it. Marshall McLuhan's global village metaphor misleads us. Villages are small, homogeneous places where neighbors can turn murderous when conflicts erupt. We inhabit something far more complex, a cosmopolis where we constantly encounter strangers from radically different cultures and worldviews. The numbers tell the story. More mobile phones than humans exist on Earth. Nearly half of humanity is online. Over 3 billion passenger flights occur annually. One in 30 people lives outside their birth country. This transformation happened within a single lifetime. This cosmopolis exists in physical and virtual realms simultaneously. A taxi driver outside Oxford reads British news in English and Pakistani news in Urdu. Content published in Bradford reaches Lahore instantly, creating tension when expression norms differ dramatically. Someone publishes in one country, someone dies in another. This dual urban orbital reality, physical cities and digital orbits, defines our age. City air once freed people by exposing them to diverse perspectives. Our digital cities offer the same potential, but amplify conflicts over religious symbols, controversial art, and competing values at unprecedented speed and scale. Understanding power today requires a simple analogy. Governments are dogs, corporations are cats, and we are mice. The biggest cats now rival all but the largest dogs in power. When Google clashed with China in 2010 over censorship and hacking, withdrawing its mainland search engine, it represented an unprecedented confrontation between one of the world's biggest cats and biggest dogs. China responded with massive censorship. 13% of social media posts were censored in 2011, managed by an estimated 20,000 to 50,000 government employees and 50,000 to 75,000 in-house platform censors. Yet citizens circumvent restrictions through coded language, like the grass mud horse meme, a homophone for a crude insult that became a symbol of resistance. Silicon Valley's dominance stems from unique circumstances. The internet emerged from Cold War America, funded by the Pentagon, yet built by libertarian-minded engineers with countercultural mottos like "We reject kings, presidents, and voting." Within 40 miles of Stanford sit Google, Facebook, Twitter, Intel, Oracle, Cisco, and Wikipedia, an unprecedented concentration of technological power. When you access Google.com, you're virtually emigrating to the United States. Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act shields platforms from liability for user content, a legal protection unique to American law that enabled this ecosystem and shapes global expression. Why should speech be free? The Western tradition offers four interconnected answers: self, truth, government, and diversity. First, free expression realizes our full humanity. We discover who we are through speaking and writing, developing our personalities through dialogue. As Tony Judd expressed while battling motor neurone disease, "So long as I can communicate, I am still alive." Second, free speech enables truth-seeking. John Stuart Mill argued that suppressed opinions might contain truth, and even correct opinions need challenging to avoid becoming prejudice. Truth emerges most reliably when ideas compete openly, what American jurisprudence calls the marketplace of ideas. Third, free speech connects to good government through deliberative democracy. Ancient Athens developed parrhesia, free and fearless speech, and isagoria, equality of speech rights. Democracy requires both the right to speak and the courage to speak truth to power. Fourth, free expression helps us live with diversity. Lee Bollinger suggests it trains us in the art of tolerance by exposing us to different viewpoints, helping us understand ourselves and others in increasingly pluralistic societies. Having a right to say something doesn't make it right to say it. Most free speech literature focuses on legal boundaries, yet insufficient attention goes to how we should exercise our freedom responsibly without tearing societies apart. Harvard Law professor Zacharias Chaffee argued that while law should place few restraints on speech, that makes it all more important for them to restrain themselves. The less we want enforced by law, the more we must do ourselves through shared norms. Legal literature reduces complex questions to, is this illegal? Law primarily addresses contested frontiers of speech, perhaps 0.01% of human expression. The vast inland of communication is governed by countless standards of frankness, politeness, and cultural norms we navigate daily without legal intervention. In our interconnected cosmopolis, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, weakens when Romans simultaneously engage with San Francisco, Athens, and Beijing at the click of a mouse. With freedom of expression determined by international bodies, nation-states, private powers, and networks of individuals, we need principles applicable at all levels, not just laws that vary by jurisdiction. Citizens wield genuine influence through four distinct levels. First, democratic pressure works even in restrictive environments. When China's 2008 Sichuan earthquake exposed poor school construction, millions of social media posts forced official acknowledgement. After the 2011 Wenzhou train crash, relentless posting compelled state media to abandon cover-ups. Concentrated public attention overcomes even sophisticated censorship. Second, we exploit competition between power centers. The 2012 SOPA/PIPA battle saw Silicon Valley mobilize against Hollywood's copyright legislation. Wikipedia's blackout, joined by Reddit and thousands of sites, demonstrated coordinated platform influence, while Google collected 7 million petition signatures. Third, individuals influence platforms through exit, voice, or loyalty. When Facebook launched privacy-invading Beacon in 2007, user protests forced Zuckerberg to apologize and shut it down. Companies obsessively track our engagement. Every click becomes a vote. Fourth, we create self-governing communities with their own standards. Wikipedia, Creative Commons, and open-source projects embody the wisdom of the many. Research shows optimal crowdsourcing involves around 5,000 active participants, remarkably similar to ancient Athenian assemblies. Free speech demands courage, because power always seeks control. From freeborn John Lilburn distributing pamphlets while bloodied in the pillory, to Chinese dissident Liu Xiaobo imprisoned for declaring free expression is the base of human rights, this courage spans cultures and eras. Most inspiring are ordinary people like August Landmesser, who refused the Hitler salute in 1935, or Saudi teacher Khalid al-Johani, who demanded freedom despite knowing imprisonment awaited. Two temperaments support free speech: courage and tolerance, personified by Christopher Hitchens and Isaiah Berlin. Hitchens embodied fearless expression, outspoken, unafraid to offend. Berlin championed liberalism, creating space for incompatible views to battle without violence. We need both: courage to speak unpopular truths and tolerance to hear abhorrent views. Modern technology has made us neighbors. Being good neighbors requires transcultural reason and imagination. Only through free expression can we understand others' perspectives, control power, and articulate differences clearly. The goal isn't abolishing conflict, but conducting it through dialogue rather than violence. In a world where algorithms determine what billions see, we face a choice: develop shared principles for navigating our cosmopolis, or watch it fracture into hostile digital territories.